Saturday morning animation is dancing ponies and singing sponges. Saturday night is their freaky up cousin.
Buckle up, boys.
What is this place?
Animation nomination High Def. A late night block of brand new shows. Axe Cop.
I'll chop your head off.
And High School USA.
Hey gang, where's Brent?
Brent's dead.
Your weekend just got a whole lot weirder.
ADHD.
Saturday's late night starting July 27th on Fox.
This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks. They are great. They provide more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and even periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/Adam Drew Show. Again, that is audiblepodcast.com/Adam Drew Show.
This is Corolla Digital.
Hey, I'm Adam Corolla.
I'm Dr. Drew.
And we are here to ask you to do us a little favor. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend.
Nice. Keep the pirate ship afloat, right?
Yeah, well, that's the only advertising we got. But it's the best kind.
It is.
Word of mouth.
It is.
Whose mouth?
Yours. Not yours, theirs.
Theirs.
Theirs, yes.
That's right. Thank you in advance for telling a friend and enjoy the show.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Corolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for subscribing via the PayPal button and giving us just a couple little shekels a month. Just to keep the lights on and the air blowing over here. It gets a little hot sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can click through the Amazon link at AdamAndDrDrewShow.com. We have a couple of shows coming up August 16th. We're going to be in Carmel. Beautiful, beautiful Carmel. I'm there doing a race, and I'm driving a Paul Newman car, and I'm doing a Paul Newman documentary because nobody... Even Hollywood, it's a weird thing. Hollywood doesn't know a lot outside of Hollywood. And
right.
Even when Hollywood royalty does things, they don't know. They don't know Paul Newman was a championship race car driver. And they don't know. And, you know, Drew, I always laugh about this sort of rounding down that people must do in life for some reason. I'm acutely aware of it because that's what my family does. But people do a lot of that. You know, it's like, hey, Paul Newman was championship race car driver. Celebrity race with
right.
Other celebrities?
Right, right, right.
No, he just ran for Nissan. But he drove those little 510 little boxes. No, he drove big IMSA GTU cars, and he drove Trans Am cars with other celebrities. No. He drove 600 horsepower prototype rolling cages that shot fire out of the side on huge slicks at Sears Point and Road Atlanta and Watkins Glen, and he drove 170 miles an hour, and he won.
He was a real
but against
driver.
Other celebrities. Yeah. It's like it cannot conceive or accept the fact that he was a championship race car driver, and that's what he did his entire life.
Do you think that is a function of celebrities aren't allowed to do actors anything beyond what they are skilled at? Or is it something about Paul Newman? He doesn't look like a – you know, they wouldn't expect
there's
him
a lot
to be that
of,
guy.
There's a lot of celebrities can't do anything else.
Yeah.
You know who can do less than celebrities?
Who?
Comedians.
Huh? Interesting.
I experienced my whole life. How'd you meet Jimmy? I was a boxing trainer. Seriously. Open mic? No, I worked as a boxing trainer. Yeah, right. All right, but we're serious. How'd you meet
Jimmy? You get the same thing with the carpentry stuff, too. It's like, yeah, where'd you learn to talk like that?
Well, people do this with the carpentry, which always drives me nuts. Right? I go, you're handy? Handy guy?
Mm.
Handyman? No, carpenter. Journeyman carpenter. Well, so, like, did you do your last house? Yeah, I did. You did it alone or you had people? You had, but you have a crew, right?
Right.
Yeah, I have people who work. Yes, no, I tear out every piece of plaster myself and drag it down the driveway. Yes, that's what I do. No, I have a crew that I work with. I orchestrate the stuff. I do a lot of it, but they do a lot of it too, right? And it's like, all right, Dick.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're getting at.
Who does that?
Almost
like,
everybody.
But I mean, is it people like you're legitimately sitting, sharing an evening with and talking to, or just people you sort of randomly meet?
Random. It's more random, but it's I try to eliminate them from my life,
yeah.
Except for they're mostly family members. But
it's
just it never ends. And then you go, I won the pro division of the Toyota Celebrity Race.
Against celebrities?
Against celebrities.
Yeah.
No, pro. Celebrity race, though, right? I just so weird. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I wonder if it's – then I started to think, is it something about you that people don't want to give you the satisfaction?
I don't look the part, I realize. I know, yeah. I've said many times I look dopey, and I understand that. But that shouldn't get you – that should not stop you from thinking that a person can have some achievement. Somebody even tweeted me once where in that race, when you do your how you're gridded up,
yep.
How you're gridded up on the track, the celebrities get a 30-second head start
right.
above the pros.
Right.
And since I qualified third amongst the pros, I was second to last in the grid. It started with the celebrity that had the best time of the celebrities. Went all the way down, you know, 14, 18 people, then got to the two pros that were faster than me, and then me. And somebody got that lineup and tweeted it to me and said, you have 14 celebrities and two pros that are faster than you. And I said, no, my time was faster than every celebrity, but they get to start ahead of me. But I appreciate the effort.
What is that with the people have to shit on you? What is that?
I don't know why
you have
to burn so many of those.
Right.
It's a lot of calories for something that's...
Absolutely.
It should... I hope it brings you a lot of joy.
I guess that's just envy. Envy is a really powerful emotion. You got to bring people down, right? We have a lot of envy these days.
I don't... Here's the thing. Bringing somebody down does not bring you up.
But that's their feeling, though. The feeling is if I diminish you, it elevates me because then you don't have that thing that made me feel diminished.
Let me explain something. It is a broken seesaw.
Of course.
You both will just have your asses
of
on the
course.
Ground. It's not like, well, if I just go down a little,
yeah.
if I can get the other guy
yeah.
over there to go down, then I will start rising. No, your ass is still firmly planted on the ground.
In fact, I would argue going deep.
You're now burrowing into the ground because you're spending time working out the order of the celebrities and tweeting to me instead of writing the next great American novel. Mm. Oh, that was a double nostril. That was double barrel. All right. You ready to...
start at the top.
Start at the top?
Yep.
All right. Jonathan?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Calling from Minnesota.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Love the show.
What's going on, man?
We're going to have twins in December, and I thought I'd get some advice from a couple guys who know something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Your life will never be the same.
Awesome.
Oh, stop that cliche.
No.
I don't like that.
You don't think it's true?
No. My life.
I'm not saying it a bad way. It just changes everything.
The same as what?
It just changes everything. The priorities feel different.
No.
I felt different. But here's my advice is to make sure you're all in.
No, I just don't like your life will never be the same because it's so fucked out. You know,
no, I'm not saying it's fucked out.
I'm saying it's fucked out.
All right.
It's a fucked out
cliche.
What
do you say? Go ahead.
Your life will remain relatively the same. No, look. First thing you will notice is the differences between boys and girls, depending on what you have. And then you'll notice the difference between the individuals, just sort of how they're wired, sort of like breeds of dogs, you know, some just a little more rambunctious and some a little more mellow, you know.
We're talking about your daughter versus your son.
Yeah, they're very, very different in the way they're wired. And then you're going to have to focus on that wiring and try to bring them a little more toward the center.
That's actually really good advice.
which is my daughter. What? Yep. My daughter's, you know, rambunctious and in everyone's grill and about to drive my wife to suicide attempts. And I say attempts because I don't think she'd
complete it.
She'd forget an ingredient or something. She'd be sitting in the bathtub for hours going, wait a minute.
Stop talking, Daddy.
Oh, shit. I should have slit my wrist. God, where the fuck's the razors? Ah, God damn it.
Too tired.
All right, I'm gonna watch with the Jodi Arias trial, then I'm calling it a night. So she's trying to drive her to suicide. My son, when I coach his basketball team, I have to tell him to be more aggressive.
That's a waste of my time.
That is actually his kids on our show.
Go get the ball. You know, go be aggressive. Go,
you know,
get it.
I, my own therapist told me this once. She said, you know, one of the things we do in therapy is try to bring up what is deficient. You know, if you're a little too understated, we're trying to make you a little more assertive. If you're a little too aggressive, we're trying to tone you down a little bit. And so the parenting function should do that as well. I think that's actually excellent advice.
I thank you. And, you know, it's my gin rummy hand of life thing that I subscribe to that people seem to argue with me a lot with, if not in description, but more in actions. Meaning, if you ever play gin rummy, and it's been a long time, but you get a bunch of hands.
You get, I
played it when I was like 19 a couple times. You get dealt cards, and then you try to get gin. And the way you get that is by discarding cards that aren't working to get you gin and collecting cards that are helping. And if you do it right and you get rid of the right cards and you collect the right cards, you will then throw it down and say gin and you will win. Now, I don't know why people grab the cards that don't work for them and hang on to them with both hands and say, no, I'm not going to get rid of this card. And you go, it's a three. It's not helping your hand. And they go, I like this card. And then you go, I know, but it's not getting you closer to gin. And they go, you're not the boss of me.
Ugh.
Why? What makes you think? Oh, and then they go to your hand. What about you? What about you? And you're two over there. You don't need that. You don't want to get rid of that card. Okay. It's not about me and my hand right now. Yeah. It's about the card you're clinging to with both hands. So you try to get your kids to let go of some of the things that aren't serving them well and try to get them to embrace the things that are, to get them to that point.
And isn't this our chance to talk about education, too? Because it really, you know.
Not for me, but for you.
Well, you've said it's important, and I agree with you. It's very important. But I think the way of thinking about it is your life is now the priority of these kids. You've got to go all in. You don't go part in as a parent. You go all in.
I'll take part for half the country.
Come on now.
Well, as opposed to nothing?
Nothing. Well, you have to have the courage to do that. Well,
you have to have the courage to do
something.
All the posters in the subways about be a hero, be a dad, and all that kind of stuff. You find that to be a scary and troubling harbinger?
No, harbinger. Just scary and troubling, period.
Well, yes, but
we're already there. It's not harboring anything.
I know. You know, but you know when they have those movies from the future and, you know, they just pass by these big signs that says obey the government and stuff like that. And we're supposed to look at that as moviegoers in 2001 and go, oh, boy, imagine how scary that society would be. This is equally scary to me.
I agree. 100%.
Okay. Perhaps we should have an honest dialogue about it.
Well, listen to me and my colleagues at CNN, we'll encourage you.
Shadan?
Yeah. Hey, Sam.
How do you say your name?
You got it perfect, my friend. Actually, I met you on Wednesday at the Road Hard event.
Oh, yes, Shadan. That's right. I remember you well. Yeah. Little funky soul patch.
That's right.
What does that mean?
That's right.
Something I did to him in the bathroom.
Oh.
I didn't want to get into it.
You were very good at receiving.
I'm just a little way.
You were an expert at that, Adam. You've always declared.
That's right. No one receives better than the Iceman.
Even men and women now. Mm-hmm. All types.
Yep. Little funky soul patch. Let's see. Half Persian and half something.
Yeah. Half German.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And
right, live up in the mountains, up in the Sequoias.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing in Irvine?
Well, I work down here every other week, so I come down for work and
spend
4 days in the glorious Irvine and then go back up to the mountain.
That's crazy.
Runs a mountain bike tour.
Yeah, we have a shuttle business and a little bike shop there called Sequoia Mountain Adventures. Actually, I started it inspired by Corolla and his pirate ship, something that we'd always wanted to do.
I see. And everyone thinks I never listen to everybody.
No, I think it's because you don't look directly at people.
I concentrate better. I concentrate better that way. Now, yeah. I think better. Drew, what do people do? Tell me this.
Yeah.
Riddle me this.
Yeah.
When they do one of those game shows and they go, now we're going to Final Jeopardy.
Yeah.
And they go, you know, you have 8 seconds. Fifth president of the United States. What do? Open their eyes super wide and look up? Or do they put their head down? Think about the thinking mode. It's, I don't want things to enter my mind that aren't of this.
Yeah. Some people
nature.
look to a corner, though. Some people look, you know, over to a side.
Whatever they do, they don't find Trebek and look him in the eye because they're concentrating.
Yes.
I like to listen and concentrate.
Right.
And also, I don't want to make fun of the soul patch.
Of course.
All right.
You might start laughing.
You don't like the soul patch, huh?
Mm. It worked on you. All right. Your wife has chronic depression.
Yeah, we moved. Actually, that was one of the reasons it took us up to the mountains was we were in Orange County, both grew up here, and just the hustle and bustle and trying to compete with everybody and, you know, match up. She had some comparison issues being a fourth child. And we decided to move up there to see if it would help her depression for a while, and she didn't work at the time and seemed to do okay for a little while, and it comes and goes and mostly stays. And she's, you know, tried meds, she's tried not meds. Right now she's seeing a psychiatrist or whatever that just doesn't, you know, meets with her for about 10 minutes and then, well, let's try changing this a little bit, and really doesn't seem to do shit other than fuck her up. She can't sleep.
Right.
She doesn't exercise.
Get some therapy going.
That's what I suggested, you know, getting back into talk therapy. She has done lots of that kind of stuff in the past.
Is she a trauma survivor?
Well, that's the thing. I've listened to you guys forever, and every time I open my mouth, it's something that you guys have said in the past, especially related to this kind of stuff. So that's what I figured, because on the Dr. Almond episode of Dr. Drew podcast, everything that Dr. Almond described was basically aligned with her. So I really wanted to get her down to Newport Beach to the facility down there. And
Get the spec scan to see what the brain's looking like. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've tried to get her to that. Right now, it's our busy time of year, so she's like, I don't know when I'm going to find time.
Okay, it takes an hour. It's no big deal.
Sorry for crapping upon the point. You and I constantly are saying to folks around us, you know, who go, look, I'm slammed. I don't have any. You don't have time. You don't have an hour to go down here and come back. Like, we all know what you can do when you want to do it and what you can't do when you don't want to do it.
That's right.
And you have to be clear with that, because sometimes these people are really looking for a reason not to do it.
Of course. And the reason it's really important in her case is he can pinpoint what medication are likely to make her worse and what are likely to make her better. But medication is not the total solution. All the research shows that it's meds plus talk. And the meds are a short-term answer to try to keep her functioning and get her doing things like exercising and listening to classical music and taking care of herself, which also is important in climbing out of this depression. So these things all have to kind of work together.
And also, Shadan, I do complain about arguments I have with my wife, but I do sit around and just thank my lucky stars every day that she's not depressed.
Mm.
That is bad for her and for you as something could be in a relationship, and that she has to do this for her, especially for the kids, but especially for you. You will suffer greatly if she does not take care of this. This is really not a personal thing. It's not her problem. It's everyone's problem.
Hmm.
And, you know, I brought that exact issue up to her recently, and I think it's resonating with her some.
Good.
Well, that's good.
It's been this way for, you know, at least 11 years we've been married. And, you know, there's a little less early on. And there's been depression around me, and I've never understood it because I've never been depressed. Hmm.
I'd rather have a family member, no lie, that was missing a limb.
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah,
absolutely.
And I would say, again, back to the trauma stuff, you know, deploy trauma therapy specifically if she has some kind of trauma out there, physical abuse, anything, abandonment, EMDR, that sort of thing. Can kind of this. It sounds like she's locked into something, and that can help break that locked-in spiral.
Shadan, yeah, I heard the MDR episode, too, and I was suggesting that. And actually, I wanted to know if Adam had tried that yet.
Do you know this?
Get it going, Drew. I'm trying.
Cheryl Errett wants to do – come on, Gary, help me out with this. Cheryl Errett was on – what episode was that? You can listen to the episode. Lynette and Cheryl Errett, who's a psychologist, clinical psychologist, who's on my HLN program, talked about Adam and what could help him with some of his stuckness about the trauma of the parents. Mm-hmm. Stuff you talk about all the time. Although, if you break out of that cycle, what were we talking about?
That's true. I have nothing to complain about.
Kind of scared me a little bit.
Yeah.
But yes, episode is – come on now.
We'll figure it out. Shadan, what's 68, your
– what, 68.
What,
68,
what half – what's your nationality?
German and Persian, he said.
Yeah. So my mom's side was here with the – you know, before the United States was a country, with the Pennsylvania Dutch.
Wow.
And my dad's side was from Iran, and he came over here in the 50s to work for the International Monetary Fund, and we lived in San Juan Capistrano, we were in Washington when I was born, and then we moved to Iran for a few years, and then my mom had a gut feeling that shit was hitting the fan, and if we don't get out now, we're not getting out. So she said, hey, I'm leaving with the kids. We'd love for you to come with my dad, and he agreed. So we planned it over in San Juan Capistrano, and that's where I grew up. And
How was your childhood? Rattled.
Yeah, that was my childhood. It was a great childhood. You know, my parents were great. We did get a divorce, or my parents did. And my mom told me when I was eight, on my eighth birthday, that they were going to get divorced.
Nice.
And so I think I have some trauma related
to
that.
Yes, of course.
Because I changed, you know, significantly around that time. And, you know, I've always been interested in kind of what.
Being Iranian, as I used to call Iranian. Mm-hmm. During all this turmoil and all this stuff, how was that for you?
As a kid.
It was really rough, to be frank. You know, as a young kid, and I know, you know, when I was a kid growing up in San Capistrano, I was the only Iranian kid around.
Do you speak Farsi?
And I don't. That was one of the things that I pushed away because, you know, going through the
A lot of Iranians in Newport, just a few miles away.
All right,
go ahead.
Yeah, but I pushed in San Capistrano. We were pretty isolated. Right. We had, you know, some people in Iran.
So you're the only Iranian kid in San Juan Capistrano.
Yeah, or at least in my school.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you know, you don't go socializing outside your town when you're 8 years old.
Got it.
So we, you know, I got called burnt French fry and stuff because I was darker, and you know, got teased and stuff. And the news cycle, you would see all the stuff with the American press.
We saw Argo.
So, you know, I would feel like I don't, you know, I was kind of trying to disassociate with my Iranian heritage. So I just shunned the Farsi language, which I did speak fluently before.
Oh, wow.
And
good for you.
I
mean it. Embrace the United States. You guys
here because
the old country's a piece of shit. And that's why you're here. Don't everyone understand you're all here because your old country's shit for the most part.
That's true.
Okay. And look, that shit varies. You know what I mean?
But the food's great. You gotta love the food.
I do. I love me some hummus and tahini.
And, well, that's more Arab, not Persian.
What the fuck?
It's all the same, right?
Well, what do you guys got? Some couscous over there?
No. We've got masa khiar. We've got kebab.
Kebab. Who does the shawarma?
The shawarma. That's Arabs as well.
Fuck it. All right. Point is this. As Drew and I have spoken about on many episodes, look, being the only Iranian guy during the hostage, whatever that's going on in an, you know, Lily White, wherever he's from, can't be good.
Right.
On the other hand, his house was never burnt down and he was never physically assaulted by an angry mob. There are many different races in this country. Some do better than others. He focused on getting his shit together, and he's doing well for himself.
Yeah.
Good.
Good, yeah.
Good.
You know what else is good? Stamps.com. Quick trip to the post office is never quick. You have to drive, park, wait in line. It's summer. It's hot. What a hassle.
Oh, the humanity.
Not for those who use Stamps.com, because you can do everything. You could do the post office in your own home, at your own personal computer.
Or your own office. We do it here.
Or your office, anywhere but the post office. Buy and print official U.S. postage right from your own computer and printer. They'll even send you a digital scale to automatically calculate the exact postage for any letter, package, or class of mail. And, of course, we have our special offer, no-risk trial, $110. It is, and you will get $110 worth of services. You'll get $55 of free postage and a digital scale for you to weigh to get that automatically calculated exact postage and then print it up to your computer. But you got to enter the code ADS. Go to stamps.com now. Click the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in ADS. Again, that's stamps.com, promo code ADS.
All right. Drew.
Yep.
I got a gallbladder question.
Let's do it.
I don't know what a gallbladder does, but I'm going to be interested in finding out.
I'll talk about it. Okay.
Dave?
Hello.
45, Phoenix, gallbladder, go!
First time, long time. First of all, thank you both for the service you've provided over the years, and I'm really happy to see that Drew's become part of the team over there.
Thank you.
Me too.
I had a gallbladder issue. It first came up about 5 years ago. At first, it felt just like food poisoning. And I was hospitalized. I was actually in the Oakland airport, and I thought I ate a bad hamburger.
Did they make the right diagnosis during that hospitalization?
Yes.
Okay.
As far as I know.
Well, they did an ultrasound or a CAT scan, and they found your gallbladder problem.
Yes.
Okay.
And there were signs of stones in there.
Okay.
And they're ready to take it out right there.
Let me ask you, are you diabetic?
No.
Do you have any other medical problems?
No.
Are you overweight, or had you lost a bunch of weight prior to that attack?
No, I could lose 15 pounds.
But it wasn't as though you'd suddenly lost a bunch of weight and then the attack?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
I've had a couple of reoccurrences since that time.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, you know, I've gotten online and I've looked at the stuff there, and it seems like a lot of the people that have the gallbladder removed, besides not having the attacks, you still have issues with digesting food.
What do you need the gallbladder for?
You don't need a gallbladder, basically. That's bullshit, Dave. I mean, it's there. Right in there is the bias of online. Only the people that complain break through.
Mm-hmm.
All the people that are very happy with their what's called a cholecystectomy aren't going online and writing stories about it. And, of course, the people that write stories about it, you can't trust what you're reading. You cannot, because listen, if it were that big a deal, why would we take these things out? We don't make patients worse. And you can die from gallbladder attacks rather easily. They can get infected. It can be a fucking mess. And it's a simple procedure. It's laparoscopic. They clip it out. You go home sometimes the same day. It's just, for God's sakes, get the damn thing out.
Well, what else don't we need?
Here's what your appendix. The gallbladder uses a little more than appendix. I mean, a gallbladder is basically a sac that sits under your liver just off your common bile duct that helps sort of squirt extra bile acids into your small bowel to help you digest fatty acids.
Mm-hmm.
It's just basically.
Like the appendix, it was something that we needed when our diet was different.
No, it's a nice little – it's inefficiency. It's a good thing.
But the appendix is something we needed for when our diet was different, theoretically?
I think the appendix is a vestige of development. It's like having a – I don't know, something else that – like a
– Where you paint pictures with your
words. I'm trying to think of what other things we have that we don't need that are just sort of left
over. How about you describing shit in a clumsy fashion?
I just did that. Oh, that's
no, I'm saying that's,
yeah,
that we don't need that
yeah,
anymore.
We don't need that. That's true.
No. All right. Now we got to go online and figure this out. What I'm saying is I always thought the appendix was part of the digestion or something of food when there was a different diet. You know, when we were eating pine cones or something.
I think it's more that is left over from another species.
Ooh,
you see that it's as we've
something
evolved,
grown in me from a dinosaur.
Yeah, something as we evolved, this little piece sort of got genetically transmitted with the advancement.
But does the gallbladder? Would you be better off with a gallbladder? What I'm saying is when our diet was different. Let's say when we didn't have food as clean as we have it now.
Yeah, it must have. Right. Well, first of all, you had no control over your diet. Now, if you have any issues after your gallbladder is out, you can adjust your diet.
But while your gallbladder's in.
Clearly, it had adaptive advantage or we wouldn't have it.
Right.
We wouldn't have it. So it's not a vestige. It's just something that had a function. It just was probably a subtle function.
Okay. All right. So get over it.
Yep.
All right.
Go get it.
All right. We're trying to get to it was Darwin that thought it was for digesting leaves. an early primate.
Well, early primate, other species, though.
I guess early primates is another species,
yeah, yeah.
But early versions of us.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That makes sense.
But that's something to do with digestion.
For some other species, yes. Oh, for sure.
Well, but another species that became us,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Or we became them?
We became them. They became us.
You should become on Fox, by the way.
I should become on Fox?
That was okay. Stupid. Saturday, July 27th, Fox introduces ADHD animation domination high def.
Oh, nice.
ADHD.
Like it.
Yep.
Sounds like something needs to be medicated.
First, for laughing so hard, your gallbladder may explode from laughing so hard. From the creators of Parks and Rec, love these guys. New animated series, Axe Cop, starring Nick Offerman. I love me some Nick Offerman. Just love that guy. Quietly, one of the funniest dudes you'll ever meet. Then, school's starting early, and never seen a class this wrong. It's a new series called High School USA. It's all part of ADHD animation domination in high def. High def works really nicely for cartoons because you never see their pores. A brand spanking new block of late night animation. That's late night. You can check it out on weekends. And it just got a whole lot weirder. Starting Saturday, July 27th on Fox Late Night. So they're doing a whole new block late night. Check that out on Fox starting July 27th. All right. What else you got there?
Line five. You guys have other calls coming in there, Gary?
Seems like we got enough.
Yeah.
Line five, Joshua, 28, Redwood City.
Got to get it on. How you doing there, Ace Man?
Good. How you doing, my brother?
I'm good. I just got a question about the male birth control pill has been promised for years, ever since Loveline. I hear Adam saying, Drew saying next year. And where are we on that?
I wasn't saying next year. I was been saying it's a long way off, and there's many different versions, that many different ways they're trying to attack fertility in the male. The one thing they can't seem to do is figure out a way to hormonally manipulate men so that they shut down sperm production without really harming them medically. So that's what makes it more difficult than the female. The female, they just have to block this one surge of hormone that comes out that causes ovulation. For men, they have to really suppress sperm, which is hard to do.
Let me tell you what's going on biologically.
Tell me.
I'm no doctor.
Okay.
But we're dudes. We storm,
really?
We storm the beaches at Normandy.
And it's all created by our sperm?
When the Brooklyn Bridge was built, we had to build caissons that were 80 foot into bedrock under the water when we had no technology.
We basically did it in an upside down bowl.
Right.
That's what they did. They all got the bends doing that too. They all died.
Who built the channel? Bunch of your mom's friends? I don't think so. Dudes. And dudes find a way. I'm talking about spiritually, psychologically, and physically. We find a way. Chick, boom. Hey, knock it off. With the being receptive to my sperm. All right. I'm going to watch the Jodi Arias trial. But dudes, you can't stop us, man.
And the sperm is just the smallest manifestation of that?
It's the
cellular manifestation.
It's the gooey tip of the spear. It is a representation of us and our unyielding desire to move ahead.
Right. So
stopping that process is going to, and I'd be curious to see what happened to those guys who are former, I was trying to be, I'm a fighter jock. I did, 120 carrier landings, and then I was going to be an astronaut, and then I got on this pill, and I'm not going to watch my stories.
Watch Jodi Arias trial.
That's all I'm saying. I wonder.
Well, they're not going about it that way. They're going at it by trying to make the tails of the sperm stop moving or prevent the capacitance of the head of the sperm so it can't penetrate the egg. So all kinds of strategies being looked at. But I'm not aware of what one is leading the pack right now. I know that people are trying and trying hard.
Well,
so it doesn't sound like they've cracked it yet.
I'm sure it's been close for a long time, but I'm sure they're given – got to remember the liability and the amount of money that has to go into this stuff.
And then all the guys saying they're on the pill when they're not on the pill.
Yeah, and so this just developing any new drugs these days is really a problem because everyone thinks drug companies are bad and evil, and it costs $750 million to take something from identifying a molecule to the marketplace, and then they only have an average of 5 years to make their money back. And it's
before the generics come out?
Before the generics come out, and then they've got all the legal stuff that whatever happens when somebody got pregnant or they didn't take it right or whatever, which just – it just makes it just economically really a problem these days. And the government's no longer funding the research, so it's a mess.
Plus then the confusion of the story with the guys like, don't worry, baby, I'm on the pill, and then what? Why? Wait, I don't get it. Why'd you have to finish in my hair? Like, oh, shit. Oh, yeah. I mean, I just started taking it. You know, old habits.
Might not work.
Die hard, man. I'm just – or playing it safe, you know. Never be too careful. All right.
Why the concern about it, Joshua? Just curious?
I just hear about it. I remember listening, and I feel like it should have been done by now.
I'm no expert on it, so you can look online and see if there's any more encouraging information. But I've had my eye on it for a long time, and it just kept rolling along and never getting to market.
Just the sterilization agent that they're going to start putting in Mountain Dew, to me, that will be the victory. When we can start doing that.
Man. Hey, I love that Mangria, by the way, there, Adam. I got a bottle last night from Zorba's.
Love them.
That stuff's pretty strong.
Yes.
Don't even drink wine.
It'll pour it over ice, baby, and enjoy. Drew, did you hear that story? It's a couple weeks back. There was basically a prison doctor that was having chicks' tubes tied, and he claimed he was just sort of doing it. You know, when they were in when they had enough scarring from enough C-sections that this could be. But he was really just kind of
trying to protect the world,
doing us all a favor.
Yeah.
And now, you know, of course, the outrage over the mother who has seven kids but's incarcerated, not being able to get pregnant again. I love the groups that are outraged over that. You think you can play God? Well, let me explain a few things. We've already incarcerated you. That's sort of playing God. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're incarcerated. You are kept in a cement box. You're not allowed to walk to the liquor store. You're not allowed to go see the latest Lone Ranger movie. There's a whole bunch of stuff you can't do because we decided you can't do it because we decided that we're going to create something called a society. And once you try to live outside the bounds of that society and hurt other people in society or steal their things, then we're going to have to bring you in and we have to put you in the box with the nice guys with shotguns. So that's number one. I've never really signed off on the, hey, I may be in this box for the next 27 years, but you got to watch it. So he was basically...
there it is.
He sterilized 148 women without approval. By the way, this will be another lawsuit, and we'll have to pay for this.
Ugh.
Yes, he is a saint. There should be a medallion named after him. There really should, that people rub before they have intercourse. And
saint infertility.
That's right. But he will be sued. Believe me, he will be sued. And this is... I don't know, you know, there's a compassion with animals. We do spay and neuter animals when we go, why? Why do that? And they go, well, because there's a lot of those animals are running out on the street. They're not being taken care of. They're not being properly fed. They need the school system to feed them breakfast.
They're not being educated properly.
They're not being taken.
Shitting everywhere.
They're not taken being taken care of. Right. So it's actually the more humane thing to do to sterilize. But once you've shit out a litter, you should really get sterilized. It's one of the many problems. And we're now at the point where I've been talking about this so long that we would be at the point where we would be seeing great, great and positive effects if all the fucking dumb people stop having kids. Or stop having multiple kids, or if we had a society that had judged maybe a little more about a mom who was
Cannot judge.
In prison with seven kids on the outside. But cannot judge. I was, I don't know why, but I was speaking to judge. I was laughing about, I had a nice, we were driving home from Jimmy's wedding the other weekend. Lynette, myself, just sort of comparing and contrasting the experience we just had in the retreat in Ojai versus our family.
Right.
And just how they sort of ran things.
Yeah.
And their belief systems and their effort and stuff like that. And you just see Joan Kimmel and Jim Kimmel and all the celebrities and all the people dressed up. And then every time I see Joan Kimmel, she kisses me, like grabs me with both hands. And I just thought this for it's just a small example of my family and how stupid they are. Now, you don't.
How much they miss out on, you mean, by being that way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it's a form of stupidity. Yeah. I met Jimmy Kimmel 20 years ago. They basically decided that because I knew him, he really had no place in their life. You know what I mean?
Right.
And never mind that he basically took their son from a life of poverty to a life of celebrity, that there was no fruit baskets that were ever sent his way with my parents' name on it, that you took my son from uninsured, not an uninsured motorist, uninsured motorist, uninsured medical, uninsured dental, living in a house with three dudes with no heat and no air, and La Cañada or La Crescenta, the hills of La Crescenta, to a wonderful house and a beautiful family and able to support and all that, all because of Jimmy Kimmel. But they've never acknowledged him. They've never even asked how he was doing. They've never asked about his show. I don't believe they've ever seen his show. They have, and he is the kind of guy who opens the tent door wide open, the flap of the tent, and says, come one, come all, come on down. I celebrate Father's Day and 4th of July and all this stuff with Jimmy's family. I do everything. Which I attend the weddings with Jimmy's family. I go to the funerals with Jimmy's family. Everything I do with Jimmy's family. And I was just thinking, as we were driving home from this beautiful Ojai retreat, my family could have easily been at this Ojai retreat hanging out with
Jimmy would have thrown the door open.
Ben Affleck, yeah, with them too, except, yeah, for he doesn't know who they are.
Yeah.
He's never seen them. They've never asked about him. You're bringing, they don't even know what he's doing.
Kind of interesting. As much as Jimmy's parents hang around or participate in his life and stuff, they manage to not take the limelight away from Jimmy or his wife. And I don't think people generally out there know what great people they are. They're an amazing couple.
Yes.
I sort of feel like people should know that, you know.
I try to.
They're so amazing.
Shout it from every mountaintop. But it's.
I think I was in a Starbucks and I ran into them and they again grabbed me and kissed me. At first, I didn't even recognize. I hadn't seen them in like, sure, 6-7 years. And I was like,
Yeah. But just think about that notion of, and you want to talk about, you know, not tactically not making those moves in life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you go, ooh, your son has buddied up with a guy who's climbing the ladder here in Hollywood pretty darn quick. And not that it's all about, hey, Uncle Jimmy's going to lease me a Cadillac, but just a even acknowledgement. They don't acknowledge he's alive. He's never asked, hey, I heard, you know, he hosted the Emmys. No one went like, hey, man, one day you guys are just sitting around the Denny's after working at K-Rock, and the next thing you know, the guy's hosting the Emmys. That's incredible. He did a wonderful job. We TiVo'd it, you know, or could I go and watch the Emmys, or do you go, and how does it work?
They would never ask that. That's way off their train.
Oh, no, they would never ask to go. They would never ask.
Even I know they wouldn't do that.
They would never ask to go, but the point is they've not had a question for or about
it.
Jimmy.
I get it. Yeah. So,
all right, stop with the mic.
That's fine.
You got to stop.
I finally fucked
you
it up.
Stop.
I have a question for you. Mm. What is this Drew voiceover yelling thing on that wall I'm seeing over there? What exactly happened?
Oh, whenever you do your HLN stuff, and I got to go through this myself, with people, either people watching TV are stupid or TV executives are stupid. I think they're TV executives.
Could be both.
Or possibly both. Every time you got to lay something down for your HLN show, we can hear you from the other end of the shop because they need big energy. Mm-hmm. They need you to yell.
Mm-hmm.
I did a pilot. I'm going to have to discuss this with the fine producers over at Spike because they're fucking driving me nuts. But everything we did, all the off-camera stuff, which was obviously funny because it came from my mouth and it was about the thing, we all had to pick up and re-record because they needed more energy. So it's like I needed me yelling everything all the time. And I don't like yelling everything all the time because you miss out on the moments when you do yell. It then seems like something. And some of the jokes are a little more subtle. We don't need big energy. And stupid people giving notes are always big energy. Unfortunately, the people at Spike are going to run into a huge problem.
With you.
With me. When it comes to the huge energy.
It's going to be awesome.
No. Well, to be
I wish I were there.
It's going to be interesting.
I lived it 20 years ago with you. It'd be great to see it happening all over
again. Well, now it's even worse because, you know me, I just want to go home.
Yeah.
Number one. And then number two, I'm tired of yelling at retards. And I'm tired of taking notes from fucking idiot producers. And so that'll be an interesting
I want to tell you,
experience.
Though, I resisted that for a year.
Yelling.
And then I started doing it finally because they And it
once
for
you do it,
things,
everyone has to do
well,
it.
Well, for certain things, it actually does work a little better.
Well, for certain things.
Yeah.
But they're just do it for everything. And
no,
thus it becomes
it
the
everything.
Standard. And that's everything. And now that's just where we're at.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with stupid producers and stupid executives. But we'll cross that bridge. Ultimately, with me, though, I'll just go home. If it gets in it, I'll go home. And then I'll just go find a guy who's as funny as me. And find a guy who knows about home improvement.
And go do it.
And go
enjoy.
Do it. I think Ty Pennington's available. He's super funny, and he's a master carpenter.
So, oh, no, wait a minute. He's never built. Wait a minute. He used to find people to build things, as he told us. Remember that?
Ty Pennington came on our show
Lovely.
And essentially told us he was a bullshit artist.
It's true.
It is true. Is it not?
Because you started asking him a couple carpentry questions. He was like, no.
No, I said, how'd you... No, before that,
yeah,
I said, how'd you get in this? I said, well, my brother was a contractor. I said, but how'd you get into it? And he's like, I kind of made people think I knew a little more than I did. And I'd get the job, and then I'd go get my brother or whatever. Like, remember that
part? You kept saying you'd find other people to do the work, is what he said. I remember
he'd
that.
Say he sort of told the people he knew a little more than he actually knew. And then I asked him... two questions and he couldn't answer either one of them. And again, people do this thing where they go, well, that's very specific. Drew.
No.
We all have a field, not all of us.
If you ask me very specific questions about medicine, I would answer it.
If,
at least know where
if
it
the
answers.
Very specific question was how what side of your rib cage is your heart located?
Right.
And how many valves does the heart have?
Right.
And name one of them. And then other people jumping in, well, maybe not cardiology. That may not be a special.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
This is very carpentry 101. Studs are laid out 16 on center or 24 on center. That's it.
Period.
That's period. End of discussion.
He couldn't even answer that. You asked him about a door, swinging a door, too. I
said, what's the height
of
a door? Not commercially, just, you know, residential. 6'8", 8'0". That's it. 8'0", meaning 80 inches, which is 6'8".
Yeah.
That's it. If you meet someone who's...
And he didn't know that.
No, he did not know that. And that's the straightest forward piece of building information there is if you do any kind of residential anything.
Isn't this the premise of your show? In certain ways?
Certain ways.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take ourselves a little extended break. Remember, me and Drew coming to a town near you, Carmel.
If you live in New England.
And Carmel.
Or Northern California, yes.
Well, but we're going from Carmel to New England to nowhere in between.
That's right. Nowhere
in between.
New Hampshire, Boston, Newport, Rhode Island. Awesome.
Road Hard, the movie, baby. FundAnything.com/Adam Carolla. Keep that party ship going. Oh, forgot about these good friends. Will Turn Theater also coming up fast. Yeah, August 3rd, me and Jay Moore. I think Bill Simmons, sports guy, coming out. And forgot about our good friends over at Audible.
How could you forget them? They're awesome.
Because they're ubiquitous. They're everywhere.
They're in the vapors.
Yes. I'm getting the vapors now. Audible.com. Internet's leading provider of audiobooks. More than 100,000 titles, New York Times bestsellers, and everything in between. And you get a free one. You can get a free one. And like I said, this is 8 hours of potentially 8 or more hours of just incredible comedy, drama, historical novels. Become an you want to become an expert on George Washington? Just listen to one of these.
Yeah.
You'll know more than anyone else on that airplane, unless you're sitting next to Ken Burns. All right. Free. You can get it for free. You can get a free audiobook, and you can be your choice at audiblepodcast.com/AdamDrewsShow. audiblepodcast.com/AdamDrewsShow. Free selection.
Again,
at audible.com.
Another great supporter.
Sponsor.
Well,
yeah.
A great sponsor of the show. That could really,
but a great product.
That's what I'm saying. We can really get behind our products. They're good. We use them. We like them.
So, until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew, Chris Maxpata, and Gary Haftard saying, mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.